This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Leading off with the Rockets today, because that was a big win last night in Los Angeles against the Clippers. The Rockets trailing late in the game by 6 with about 4.5 minutes to go. We've seen Clipper meltdowns late in games before.
Have we?
It's been a little while.
Yeah.
Against the Rockets. I think the only one still
James
left.
James Harden didn't play much of a part of that one.
I know, and I think he's the only one still left from both teams that were in that game.
Rally everybody up and be like, hey, guys, let me tell you a story about a time. I watched this game. I had a better seat than anybody in the house.
And I watched Corey Brewer and Josh Smith lead us back in an important playoff game. Yeah, that was cool last night as we welcome you in on a football Friday, ironically leading off with a little basketball. We'll get to some football in the open. Sean Pendergast alongside Seth Payne. Great to be with all of you. As we are on the eve of the Texans and the Bucks tomorrow. A reminder, it is a Saturday game this week. Yeah, so we'll...
It's a good Saturday lineup, too. Yeah, right after the Texans, you got Bills-Patriots.
Yeah, and you got the Rams and the Niners a little later on, a little NFC West action. So that'll be cool. A cool triple header tomorrow. Rockets last night, they come back, they beat the Clippers. Seth, I will admit, I went to bed at halftime because I'm thinking, all right, they're down by double digits. They're on the road against not just one of the best teams in the NBA, but one of the best home teams in the NBA. The Clippers up to that point were 14-1 up until last night. They were 14-1 at home, and the Rockets came back to win. It was a game that got me very excited about Russell Westbrook beginning to find his stride as a Houston Rocket.
Yes.
We're beginning to find the mix here, Seth. I'm feeling something here.
This is what I do when I do that, though. I get excited about the drives. I get excited about that electricity. I don't get excited when he hits a step back, kind of almost three.
No.
I just, all right, Russ, whatever. That's cool that it went in, but let's not make a habit of this.
There's seven more of those coming.
Your step back almost three is, it's great that it went in, but
stop deceiving yourself, Russ.
My favorite play last night was the Capella lob to McLemore.
Yeah, little roll reversal. Oh,
the little touch. Just give him time. By the time Capella's 34 or so, he'll have a Hakeem-like touch around the rim.
He will?
Yeah.
And he's going to be dishing. He'll be the centerpiece of the
offense.
Dishing alley-oops to guards and
he's
forwards.
He's going to be one of those .5s. Yeah. How about that? What if all of a sudden, one year Capella, instead of guys, you know, sometimes guys come back and they gain 15 pounds. You're like, oh, did he roid up or something? I'd love to see Capella come back and all of a sudden just have a mad handle.
Can you imagine, like, you hear these rumors, like, during the summertime, like, so-and-so's been working on this, and then you wait to see what it looks like, and it, whatever it may be, unless you're James Harden, it doesn't often really translate. That would be funny if there were rumors. Clint Capella's really been working on his crossover during the summertime.
He shoots a lot of three. I mean, he works on his outside shot.
He does.
You've seen it with his free throw shooting. Yeah. You know, the kid's put in his work.
If you go to a Rocket game early, Clint Capella is always out there shooting elbow jumpers. That is very true. Now, the last thing I want Clint Capella doing right now is shooting open jumpers. But this game last night, Seth, this was regular season wins are what they are. It's an 82-game season. It's a long season. But this was a Clipper team that had its full complement of everybody playing last night. There was no resting of anybody. There was no load management going on with Kawhi Leonard. Paul George was out there. Both were playing well in the first half. And that's of all the regular season matchups, I would say in the NBA, where there might be a little extra juice in the matchup based on the two rosters, Clippers and Rockets, I'd have to go through the rest of the league. You know, I would imagine there's a little something when Miami plays the Lakers because of LeBron. You know, so much player movement nowadays. There are probably a lot of matchups where there's a little extra sizzle on it because so-and-so is now playing for this team. You know, when KD comes back finally and Brooklyn plays Golden State or Oklahoma City, there will be some extra juice in those games. I would imagine when the Nets play the Celtics with Kyrie Irving that there's some extra juice because of how Celtic fans feel about Kyrie Irving. These Clipper Rocket matchups, because of two things. One, all of those former Rockets that are on the Clippers through the Chris Paul trades and the various transactions, it's weird. It's like watching a reunion every time you watch the Clippers. And then the fact that you watched last night, and this dawned on me at the very end of the game when Paul George and Russell Westbrook were hugging each other right after the final bucket. Those are the The Kawhi Leonard, those are two of the guys who were involved in maybe the most massive ripple effect this offseason. When Kawhi Leonard said, I'll go to the Clippers, but only if you go get me Paul George, that's the move that led to Russell Westbrook being a Houston Rocket, in a way. So that was so.
I mean, it was exactly that move.
Yeah,
Russell Westbrook said, hey, all right, I want out. And Oklahoma City said, what are we going to do, hang on to him for no good reason?
Yeah,
so, and off he went.
So as far as December 19th matchups in the regular season go, Clippers-Rockets, there's plenty of storylines.
It was funny because right before the show, I wanted to look something up. I was looking up on the play-by-play. And then I could tell everybody pay attention when I speak today because it might be an interesting one. I'm going through I don't know if the brain's fired up yet. I'm going through the play by play and I'm looking at this like Montrezl Harrell dunk, and I stared at it for a good 5 seconds. I was like, why did the score not change for the Rockets? Why are the Rockets stuck at 1-3? And I looked up.
Oh, it's gonna be that kind of day.
Up the play by play and I looked down. I'm like, why didn't I not credit him for a dunk? I started thinking it was another one of these Spurs situations, and I thought, oh boy, we got another controversy on our hands.
Your brain was telling you that Montrezl Harrell was still a Houston
Rocket. Yeah.
It gets a little confusing.
Which is fine. You're like, okay, lesson learned. 3 seconds later, I'm looking at, like, wait, Beverly scored, but there's no, they didn't credit the Rockets. But that's the kind of game it is.
There's a rave party going on inside your brain this morning. Like, there's
just one big weird Rockets, Clippers.
Yeah, melange.
I got to be careful. The kids are not in school yet. Yeah. It's kinky.
You were going to use the O word, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kinky stuff. Like, all this just swapping people. Yeah.
Big swingers party. Yeah. But good win. Good win last night for the Rockets. And great game for Russell Westbrook. Seth, I'm liking the Westbrook that I'm seeing.
I like
right
Westbrook.
Now.
You know, the other thing, too, is, okay, so the Rockets, I think, are about 15th or 16th in defensive rating right now, which, you know, obviously.
The meaty part of the curve.
What's that? Yeah.
Not getting too far ahead, not falling too far behind.
Not too great, not too shabby.
Don't want to set expectations too high.
But I was thinking about that last night because the Clippers went on a 20-4 run.
Yeah.
When the Rockets got up to 103, they were up 103-93 or so. And. It all, at least with the Rockets, part of it is, it's, you know, with the Texans, we get upset because they're seemingly so inconsistent from game to game. The Rockets, it's both a blessing and a curse. They're inconsistent within basketball games.
Yeah.
The point where they have these defensive lapses and they look just completely checked out. At least part of that, and you always have to remember this with the Rockets, is that part of it is that because they shoot so many threes, a lot of times their defensive lapses are coupled with going cold from three.
Yep.
So the swings can be just massive. It feels worse than it is a lot of times. And I think that's where I try to remind myself when I get upset with the runs that other teams go on, that's just part of the Rockets' DNA. It's not necessarily that they're lazy or they don't care or anything. They just – now there are times where it looks like defense.
There are times where it looks like they're lazy and
like,
don't care.
Not getting back on defense is a classic sign of just not giving a damn. But it looks worse with the Rockets because of their cold stretches.
It does. Look, as far as regular season wins go, that's one that's going to get me excited about the potential for this team. And they'll probably do three more things in between now and New Year's to make me feel the other way.
Yeah.
But damn it, we're 10 hours removed from not even. God, like 6 hours removed. Man, you and I don't get much sleep, man.
We're like six hours removed
from the Rockets closing this thing out.
My Fitbit tracks my sleep, and I was all excited because I looked at it the other day, and I was like, ooh, I got 5.5 hours, but my sleep score was in 91. I slept well.
Ooh,
I slept solid.
Out of 100?
Yeah, because you're so chronically sleep-deprived that you're just out like a rock.
Yeah.
You know what I did last night is I took some CBD before I went to bed, and I think that's why my brain's a little woozy
okay.
right now. The CBD and then not enough sleep on top of it.
Did it overall help you, though, do you think?
I think it does. I think it I feel like my body aches and pains are a little muted,
yeah,
which is probably for the best. I've got a torn meniscus. Did I tell you that? I've got a torn meniscus. I went and saw Dr. Lowe, the Texans doctor.
It was, yes.
Yeah. Did I tell you on air?
On air?
Yeah.
In the post-show meeting?
I know I've told you before. Like, when you... The other day, like, yeah, when
theater
you asked Seth, why are you limping around like a... like a horse that's about to be shot.
Yeah,
we talked about it.
We did.
I don't think our listeners know that I have a torn meniscus.
Well, you told the story on air about going and seeing Dr. Lowe.
Oh, that's
because
right.
You were very proud of the fact that they bumped you to the front of the line.
Yeah. I got treated.
You still
like
got some NFL privilege.
They gave me the Texans treatment.
Yeah,
the guy.
Should.
Yeah, they said, look, we're doing like we did when you were a player. We're just going to treat you like a...
You're the greatest nose tackle in the history of the team, yeah, especially as they continue to play DJ Reader at defensive end.
They snuck me in between. Yeah, that's right. Sometimes. That's what I'm banking on. The 10% of snaps that he plays at defensive end.
That's how this show chooses to look at it.
I'm like, well, he's not a pure nose tackle.
Nope. Not like you, baby. Not like you.
You know what's interesting, though, is because they do, the Texans do spend a lot of time in 4-3 looks. You know, Brandon Scarlett's been an off-the-ball linebacker a lot of times. And without getting too complicated, they look like a 4-3 a lot of times. And then DJ Reader is more like a 3 technique or a classic, you know, 4-3 defensive tackle.
Okay, so this is a good segue.
So again. Not a pure nose
Not
tackle.
A pure nose tackle. Okay. Okay. So now here, this is a good segue actually into the other thing I wanted to drop into the open here, because we have Ross Tucker going to join us in the next segment. The other thing that got everybody all fired up on Twitter yesterday was J.J. Watt tweeting out the highest graded edge rusher Pro Football Focus scores, where his brother T.J. Watt is the leader right now. He has a 91 score for Pro Football Focus. We don't need to dig into what comprises that score. Just know that J.J. Watt is tied for third, so he's behind his brother. Mm-hmm. So J.J. tweets, well, this is unfortunate, and he, you know, somewhat sarcastically. And then he follows up a tweet with a tweet where he says, it's not over, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Kind of implying that he could be back. So my
people
question to you is,
about that. You know, just underwear's soiled over that.
Are you the one guy in town, Seth, who doesn't want to see J.J. Watt come back? Because that means D.J. Reader would bump back to being a pure nose tackle.
Well, no, he wouldn't. That's because D.J. will go out and play end just depending on what the game plan is and whatever. No, obviously we're joking about all that.
Yeah.
You know what?
But this J.J. tweet got everybody,
got everybody
hot and bothered.
I think that, and that's what I'm, that's, I don't want to let myself get too optimistic about J.J. coming back. I think it would be, unless they've got some brand new procedure they've used in some kind of stem cell therapy or something. But he's focused on it, and that's how I interpreted it when Bill O'Brien talked about it the other day. He sounded almost like all of us do when we talk about J.J. now, because we've learned over the years, when we've said, well, you can't expect him to be the same when he comes back from this injury, and then he comes back and has more sacks. Or even after, well, you can't expect a defensive lineman, an interior lineman, or a 3-4 defensive end to have more than 15 sacks every year. Then he comes back and he does it. So everybody knows now when you talk about J.J. not to count him out. So I think that J.J. probably has this goal, and Bill O'Brien doesn't want to be the guy that's up there saying, like, nope, not going
to
happen.
This is but for him to tweet this, though, is putting it out there. Like, I JJ's feel like if Clowney had done this, like, in his second or third year, like, Bill O'Brien would be pulling him into his office to say, hey, man, don't be putting stuff out there that can allude to anything medical.
It's a distraction or something.
I don't know that it's a distraction.
Well,
I think
that's what they would say back in the day. That's the classic treatment about that.
Yeah, but that's, like, This is JJ getting everybody pretty excited about something here. Like, this is a tweet. This isn't him saying it to a teammate who's telling somebody who said it to somebody else. This is a tweet.
JJ's gotten a lot looser on Twitter over the last couple of years. Like, in he's become less, hey, motivational commercial, and more just, hey, I'm a guy.
Regular
he's just
dude.
Having fun. He's laid back a lot more. He's relaxed a lot.
Yeah.
I've noticed he's really put a lot of focus on his brothers. Even before he got injured, he's trying to prop Derek Watt up and everything for Pro Bowl voting for special teams.
Yeah.
So, but the one thing that I really respect any athlete these days that can stay out there on social media, because when he says, well, this is unfortunate, and he's just obviously making a joke about pinning himself versus T.J. Watt.
Sure.
The multitudes and multitudes of responses from various people that want to jump into the actual serious debate about who's better. Like, JJ, okay, JJ, let me make a point, though, about why TJ's better than you. Just shut up.
Yeah, no kidding. The worst. On the line right now, as we do each and every week, he is our radio doc. Are you excited,
Seth? Is it Ross?
Yeah.
It's always earlier than I expect. It's like the opposite when you're a kid and you're waiting for Christmas. This is...
the opposite.
Sure. Yeah, I almost said something.
Insider
Ross is always early. Yeah.
Insider calls you, but you're walking the line this morning. Yeah, Insider calls brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. You can catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home, his new show on radio.com/home, or search Home on the radio.com app. You can go check it out. We go to the hotline right now to talk to Ross Tucker. Ross, Merry Christmas. How are you?
I'm doing great. Merry Christmas to you guys as well. I'm just wondering, I was just thinking when we came back from break, you think the main reason why you guys got this gig is because of the alliteration of Payne and Pendergast?
Okay, I think that might be one of the reasons why they paired us up.
I
think it's on the top three or four reasons.
It is. We noticed a trend with our boss that all of a sudden all these shows had alliteration. So, yeah, there were, like, all three shows at one point had alliteration. But it might have been the reason the show was put together, but it was almost the reason that it broke. Because I demanded that it be Payne and Pendergast and not Pendergast and Payne. I'll walk off this set.
Yeah.
Could be. They could have gone with Sean and Seth, too. I mean, you guys have double alliteration. That's crazy.
I know. It is. It's wild.
Hashtag SP2, which is also, by the way, the hashtag for the Vagina Museum of London. So be careful when you go to that hashtag.
Yeah.
So wait. So that means you have actually said, like, hashtag SP2, like, that's your thing.
We tried.
And then you actually clicked on it.
Yeah.
And then came to that realization.
Yeah. We were beta testing them on the air one day, Ross, and Seth was over there. He's like, let's see if anybody's taken hashtag SP2 yet. And he put it in there, and he goes, oh, the Vagina Museum of London.
That might have been
so
cool.
You guys were talking about that thing from Braveheart where you're allowed to the landowner's allowed to just take the maiden's virginity or whatever.
Yeah, Prima nocta.
Prima nocta.
So
yeah.
this is 2 weeks in a row I'm on a radio station in Houston, Texas, talking about the sexual practices of Europe in other centuries.
Yep.
So how are you guys' ratings doing?
They've been pretty good.
Actually, they're going up. They're really good.
Yeah, it's been like a steady like doubling by the month.
Right. Yeah.
And by the way, I just checked out the SP2 hashtag. It looks like the museum might be closed. I don't know if that's permanently or just for the month, but
the Vagina Museum is closed
for the month. But the Bucks are hosting the Texans this week. Let me ask you this, Ross Tucker.
Just go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Jameis Winston, despite all his issues, is he the future quarterback of America?
The future quarterback of America?
He's America's quarterback. Look at this guy.
Well,
he's got chutzpah.
Look, there's no question. I talk about it all the time. He is entertaining every time he plays because it's either a touchdown or it's an interception. Even when he fumbles or runs, he runs. He almost looks like a baby giraffe. Like his arms are flailing all over the place. It's like unintentional comedy. It's interesting though, guys. He has been good enough during this winning streak for them that I now think the Bucks are going to bring him back. My guess is that they would try to get him to take like a 1 year. $20 million deal, but Jameis might say, nah, I don't really need to do that. And they might have to franchise tag him because I kind of feel like if you're Bruce Arians, you're 7-7, you've won 4 games in a row now. I almost feel like Arians is going to say, you know what? Give me another year with this guy. I can get rid of 5 or 6 of these picks because, you know, Arians is the kind of guy that he doesn't really mind interceptions all that much. Like he wants you to chuck it down the field. He loves 400-yard passing games and both receivers having 100 yards and all of that stuff. And they'll have Godwin and Mike Evans both back next year. I kind of think they're going to run it back with Jameis, maybe on the franchise tag, and they probably should. All they got to do is find a way, maybe it's year 2 of Arian's system, find a way to not – have him turn it over quite so much. I also think that because of Winston, the Bucks have a puncher's chance against your boys tomorrow. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Texans win the game, but I think I'd probably pick the Bucks if they had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I mean,
right. If
you guys lose to them without Evans and Godwin, that would be bad. They're going to be relying on Breshad Perriman, who's on like his 6th team, and a whole cavalcade of Ivy League ball catchers. Justin Watson from Penn, Cameron Brait from Harvard. I mean, imagine how bad you'd feel, Seth, if the Texans maybe missed out on the playoffs because the Ivy League skill guys, the Ivy League arsenal took down the Texans.
I'd feel a certain amount of shame. There's not a single Cornelian on there. Do they have anybody that's an actual man, or is just all these frilly, floofy types, these Harvard, Princeton, Yale types?
Not like the blue-collar Cornell types.
Yeah, we got an ag school. And these other, you know, Ross went to Princeton, and they like to look down their nose at Cornell because we have an ag school. We're like, sorry, you're looking down at America, my friends. You take your wannabe English ass back across the pond.
Yeah.
You guys wore wigs to classes. But seriously, though, let me ask you this, Ross. I heard you talking with Greg Cassell on your podcast, which is an awesome podcast, and Greg made the point that, hey, look, every interception tells a story, and they're all individual. When I look at Jameis Winston And he might break the record and be the first quarterback to have 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in the same season. There are some interceptions where you just look at it and you think, what the hell was he thinking? There's other interceptions where you can tell he actually made what would have been a really good read and like a complex advanced read, except that he forgot about a linebacker popping into his zone or something. What's the key for the Texans defensively to try to take advantage of some of these interceptions? Is it just to show, just to disguise the coverages well enough to fool them?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think it's number one, try to trick him up a little bit. And number two, and this sounds stupid, but catch the ball. Like when he throws it to you or throws it in your vicinity, catch the ball. The Texans' pass defense is not their strength. And even though it's not, you know, Godwin and Evans, he's still been throwing the ball all over the place, even with these other guys. So if you're the Texans, I think they got to try to get some pressure on him, obviously. Here's the thing. He's going to give them two or three chances to pick the pass off. The question is, how many are the Texans actually going to pick off? I actually thought it was interesting, too, Seth, what Greg said on the Ross Tucker podcast about the Texans running the football and how that's been a real positive for them. And I don't think gets talked about that much because, you know, everybody's in Deshaun Watson world and Watson to Hopkins, Watson to Fuller, and rightfully so. But, you know, they become a pretty dangerous team when they're running it effectively with Hyde also.
It's something that's happened over the last few weeks. We've all kind of collectively taken a step back and had to say, wait a second, I don't know how to process this, but the offensive line is playing pretty well.
Yeah,
and
sure.
They really, I mean, it was evident in training camp that they had a lot more athleticism on the offensive line. But then Tytus Howard got injured at right tackle as they were trying to fold a few other things together. And it's really all come together. They're one of the better pass protecting offensive lines in football, too.
It's crazy. And it's a good lesson that players, teams do not stay the same, you know, throughout a season. Guys start to play better. Guys start to play worse. Teams, units, they change. I think what happens is we get these, you know, we love to be able to put a label on things and say this player's good, this player's bad, this guy's this, this team's this. You know, I mean, I hear people talking about things about certain teams that haven't been true since like week two or week three. But that was like what people were saying at the start of the year. And they haven't really paid attention enough to change their opinion. They're just going with the first narrative that came out.
Ross Tucker is our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, and his Insider Calls brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. You can catch Ross every weekday, Home and Home, the new show out now, or Radio.com/home, or search Home on the Radio.com app. And it's Christmas next week. Is next week just a normal week for you with a holiday plunked in it, Ross? Are you taking any time off? What are you doing, man?
Well, Home and Home will not be on the air Tuesday and Wednesday, Christmas Eve and Christmas. But other than that, I will still be doing most of my stuff. I'm flying out today to Providence to do the Patriots and Bills. I'll be in the booth for Westwood One, Patriots and Bills tomorrow after the Texans play. And then Sunday morning, I fly from Providence back to Philly, and I do Eagles pregame, Eagles-Cowboys for WIP, which is a radio.com affiliate as well. So it's a yet another doubleheader weekend. I had a lot of doubleheader, but this is the last one. This is the last doubleheader weekend of the season, and I actually get to be home for Christmas, which is nice because I'm never home for Thanksgiving. So I am looking forward to Tuesday and Wednesday. I have not seen like my brother-in-law, sister-in-law, father-in-law, I literally haven't seen him since August.
Wow. It's your busy season, man. That's how it goes. They know
that.
Yeah,
I mean, look, it's time to make the donuts, bro.
Yeah.
It could be a lot worse.
That's absolutely right. Ross, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Merry Christmas.
SP2 for life.
Yeah, baby.
That's it, baby. I love that, Ross Tucker.
So dirty.
SP2 for life.
Your mind out of the gutter, Ross. That must have been a one-time promotion at that museum.
Yes, because
it doesn't pop up anymore.
So the museum
doesn't pop up anymore for the I guess
the museums.
People get upset when I use like the medical term for the actual body part, but whatever.
Okay, fine. Well, yeah. Kids are gonna have to learn that term at some point. They're gonna learn it in biology class.
You learn it by the time if you have one for one by the time you're 3 years old. Right?
Yes. Yeah, you're preaching to the choir, buddy. I promise you. If you have alliteration on a show, I feel like it improves the chemistry 32%.
I wonder Landry and Lopez instead of In the Loop. In the Loop, they got to stick within the Loop. It'd be almost because of the loopholes exclusively.
Yeah,
it's great. We know
that's a brand that's transcended the actual people on the show. Like, well, Lopez has been on there forever.
Yeah.
He's literally been on the show while it's been In the Loop forever. But there have been multiple other people who have passed through there as characters.
So yeah, In the Loop is like Jefferson Starship.
A little bit.
Except then the Lopez is the one remaining constant.
That person on Jefferson Starship is still there. Yeah.
This is a little bit related. Remember Billie Eilish, whatever her name is. She's a little the young singer. There's a lot of buzz a couple weeks ago because she said she didn't know who Van Halen was.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the late night guys was interviewing her, and she said, "I don't know who that is."
Yeah,
and
it made me feel old.
People got all upset because how do you not know who Van Halen is? Well, because we're old, okay?
Right.
Like a lot of the kids don't know the stuff that we listen to. But I can't judge either because until I was probably 14 or 15, I thought David Lee Roth was Van Halen.
Was Van Halen
until you learn anything about it at all? Maybe I was 10 or 11.
And
I don't know.
Find out there are two band members whose last name is Van Halen.
Wait a second, the guys I don't care about at all are named Van Halen.
I know.
What the hell?
Because they were the brains of the operation.
They were, yeah.
They decided to slap their name on the LLC.
The Van Halen brothers are kind of like a lot of some successful rock musicians. When you actually watch them in interviews and everything, you're like, oh, this guy's way more intelligent than I'd like him to be.
Yeah.
And he's way more serious than I want him to be. Can't you just like drink a vat of whiskey and
go
dance with strippers or something?
Right, like, that's what I thought, like yeah. David Lee Roth does.
Right. You know, it's a little bit like that is from the Goo Goo Dolls, lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls. He's not annoying like with his personality, but he's smart as hell.
Eddie Van Halen had Valerie Bertinelli for a long, long time. From One Day at a Time.
Is she one of the ones that bribed her kids into school?
Lori Loughlin, which, by the way, is my favorite story of 2019.
Bribing stars, kids into school.
Yes, yeah. Stars bribing their way. Bribing their kids' way into USC for like $500,000 when it's like, look, I guarantee you, if you just slapped your name on the weight room of the football facility for $500,000, you would get your kid into USC. Like, that tells me they're not good at networking.
They could have, like, if you're gonna bribe your way into something, do it the old school way, like above board.
Yeah, the legal way to do it.
There's still legal ways to do it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're just dumb.
Well, how about this? Maybe your kid doesn't have to go to UCLA.
That was the best part. When they got their kids into school, and then immediately her daughter's doing YouTube. So she's like, well, I'm in college, but whatever. I'm just going to sit here and sell makeup on YouTube instead. Anyways, back to the Texans. The Texans heading into this game against the Bucs. Seth, I did not like the injury report that came out yesterday. Benardrick McKinney and Jacob Martin both out for the game tomorrow.
Yeah.
I did not like that. Benardrick McKinney has been an Iron Man for this team. The last time Benardrick McKinney missed a football game, I looked this up before the show, weeks 7 and 8, the only two games he's ever missed as a Texan. He's in year 5 of his career. The only two games he ever missed, weeks 7 and 8 of his rookie year back in 2015. Since then, he has answered the bell literally. Even during that horrible 2017 season where everybody got injured, Benardrick McKinney was out there every Sunday playing for this football team, playing with the green dot on the back of his helmet, getting everybody set up. I do not like this.
He's not ruled out.
He's out.
Oh, he's out? Out?
The injury report came out yesterday.
Oh, shoot.
He is out.
I misread it.
And
okay.
Jacob Martin is out.
All right.
They're
for some
both
reason,
out.
I thought McKinney, there was still a glimmer of hope or whatnot.
Out.
Okay. So, all right. Let me just readjust for a second. The thing about McKinney is that you can't undersell how important he is to the pass rush too, just because he's a really good add-on pass rusher. When he sees that his guy is blocking, he comes up and adds on to the pass rush and does a pretty good job of it. At times they'll line him up outside when they need to. And for instance, if Jacob Martin was injured, Benardrick McKinney, in some respects with some of the things they do, can replace him to a bit. So now you're down both these guys. I'll go back and say, hey, why didn't you guys put a claim in on Terrell Suggs?
Because apparently when I brought that up to John McClain, apparently all 53 guys on the Texans roster are uncuttable.
Who are you going to cut? Because
his reply to me was, who are you going to cut?
Yeah, well, I don't know, like,
to which
guy,
I said, okay.
Maybe one of the 8 guys that they've signed in the last 5 weeks whose names I don't know.
I'm like, John, they cut like 2 guys every week for one reason or another.
Would the Texans have gotten, because let's see, they were ahead of the 49ers, right? And they were
ahead of all the teams that put a claim in on Terrell Suggs.
So they would have if the Texans put a claim in on Terrell Suggs. 4 other playoff teams put a claim in on Terrell Suggs.
I'll list them here. Yeah. The 49ers, in no particular order, the 49ers, the Seahawks, the Saints, all of whom are 11-3. So yeah. I don't know what the pecking order is there. And then the Chiefs, who are 10-4 and ultimately got him because they are the team with the worst record that put a claim in on Suggs. Yeah, if the Texans wanted Terrell Suggs, they could have had Terrell Suggs. And this would appear to be a game, based on what you're saying, Seth, Benardrick McKinney and his role in the pass rush, Jacob Martin as, at the very least, a situational pass rusher for this team, an already subpar pass rush is going to be a lot worse against a team that this just in likes to sling the football around a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, they're missing their top 2 receivers, and I don't know that we've given that enough attention this week, if you want to know the truth, that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who are 2, statistically at least, 2 of the best 4 or 5 receivers in football, they're missing both of these guys this week. Maybe I'm being a little too nervous about this game. That's a big deal. Like if the Texans were missing Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins, how would we feel? Feel about this offense's ability to move the football against good teams?
Right. We know exactly what happens when Will Fuller's not out there. I guess I would say that Godwin got injured in the 3rd quarter last week, so he was a big part of it. He had over 100 yards receiving. Jameis Winston would go on to pass for 450 yards, but a lot of the damage is already done with Chris. Plus, when a player goes out in-game, it's different, and teams can't necessarily adjust to it as easily as you might think. So
Opposing defenses.
It's a big deal. I just don't want to undersell the combination of Bruce Arians and Jameis Winston.
Right.
I think they're not afraid to push it deep. And when you're one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL, do the Bucs really need Chris Godwin and Mike Evans to take advantage of it? No. Yeah. We saw the Broncos destroy the Texans' pass defense. So
with tight ends and running backs.
Right, right. Yeah, aha, aha. Tight ends and running backs. So that's I'm still concerned about it. It's not as scary, obviously, but I'm still concerned about it.
Yeah, so Benardrick McKinney going to be out with a concussion. Jacob Martin, this feels like a game where Jacob Martin would have had like another 1.5 sacks and 2 QB hits on his 19 snaps that he would have played. They would have had us coming in on Monday with people going, why isn't Jacob Martin playing more? This feels like it would have been one of those games. Because I feel like the Bucs are going to even without Evans and Godwin, to your point, Seth, this is still the same head coach and the same quarterback.
Yeah.
Those are the 2 most important things. Evans and Godwin are really, really nice tools to have, but they're not going to change the way they go about their business because they're missing their top 2 receivers. They're just going to bump the next man up, hope that Jameis Winston doesn't turn the ball over and sling the ball around 45 times. This feels like a game where we would have been saying Jacob Martin's name at some point, you know, Clint and I in the post-game show, and then you and I on Monday when we came in here, just because of the style of game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
O.J. Howard is the tight end that obviously everybody was all excited about when he first entered the league.
Yeah.
And he's
screwed
me.
I bet on him 20-1 to win Rookie of the Year that year.
I remember it was just a couple years ago. It was, wow, they got Mike Evans and O.J. Howard.
Yeah,
and
I remember.
And, what's his name? Off to DeSean Jackson. Yeah, yeah. It was going to be crazy.
Yeah.
It's going to be a highlight reel.
He's been decent this year.
Who, O.J. Howard?
Yeah.
He's had like 30 receptions.
Yeah.
But now he's been targeted a lot more over the last 4 games, which, by the way, has been when Jameis Winston's been going off. He's had back-to-back 450-yard receiving games or passing games. So I'll say again, like the promo is saying, you definitely 100% do not sleep on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're not as scary as when Evans and Godwin were there, obviously, but there's something about Bruce Arians, and Bruce Arians is getting the absolute best out of Jameis Winston. With Jameis Winston and all his interceptions, it's just such a wild card because he's like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He might throw, he could have a game where he has 5 touchdowns and then turn around the next week and have 5 interceptions, or he might have 5 touchdowns and 5 interceptions in the same game. So you just kind of roll a funny shaped die out there and hope that it doesn't come up on him getting lucky with interceptions.
Yeah, like one of those Dungeons & Dragons dice that have like 16 different sides to it, one of those things.
Yeah, I wish I'd gotten into Dungeons & Dragons. I did when I was a kid.
You would have fit in better at Cornell, probably.
I never fit. Yeah. Professors would have liked me more.
That's right.
That's how you get ahead of Cornell.
I'm a fifth level paladin, buddy.
You don't sleep with a professor. You go play Dungeons and Dragons
with
him.
Man. You know how many hit points I have? Okay, I know a little too much about Dungeons and Dragons. All right. How would you feel if you were a Bucks fan? As you're sitting there talking about Jameis Winston, and you're describing the experience of following and rooting for Jameis Winston right there to a degree. And as you're describing it, I'm not even a Bucks fan, and I start to get a little bit of agita. Like my stomach starts to turn a little bit because of all the wild swings with Jameis Winston.
Oh.
How do you feel if you're a Bucks fan? Not only about Jameis Winston right now, but if you're a Bucks fan, are you wanting them to commit to Jameis Winston long term? Because Ross Tucker in our previous segment just suggested the franchise tag. That sounds like a delightful solution.
That's
if I'm
exactly,
a Bucks fan.
I think two fan bases actually have a pretty good, when you consider all the factors that go into selecting a quarterback these days. I think the Tennessee Titans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers both are in situations where they have a quarterback that might be the answer, but that quarterback himself has no reason to think that they deserve a long-term lucrative contract on par with a lot of other deals. So I'd rather be a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan right now in some respects than an LA Rams fan. Long term, you're locked into Jared Goff out there.
Oh, that's a solid take.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, that's it. Stop the show. We're done.
I like that a lot.
Seriously, think about all the teams where Jared Goff, highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I'd rather have the ability to franchise tag Jameis Winston right now. There's way more upside with Jameis Winston. The combination of Bruce Arians and Jameis Winston.
Yes.
And look, unlike Sean McVay, Bruce Arians has proven over time, consistently year in and year out, he can deliver with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, Sean McVay, it's all right. Hey, boy, remember last year when we were all impressed by your parlor trick of reciting plays? Yeah, that's like,
so annoying.
You know what? They might as well have Ryan Fitzpatrick's kid up there doing his math
tricks. Doing his chiz and bop.
He might as well be offensive coordinator of the Rams.
He's reciting.
The human brain weighs 8 pounds.
That's right. That's right. Jerry Maguire's kid. I think with the franchise tag, just back to Jameis for a second, and with Tannehill too. And the Tannehill one is probably the one. Look, we're talking about Jameis a lot today and this week because the Texans play the Bucks tomorrow. But the Tannehill one is the one that impacts the Texans because they face the Titans twice a year. That's a huge decision. We've seen with the Jags when you make a wrong decision at quarterback, the ripple effect that it has. Not only deciding to go with a certain guy, but also the guys that you pass up on who are now teams that you have to go through in the AFC now. Like, it's not just that they passed on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, and especially with Deshaun. It's now you see this guy twice a year. Now you've eventually got to go through Mahomes if you want to win the AFC, that kind of thing. So there's a double-edged sword. But with respect to the franchise tag specifically, I think one thing that people get too caught up in, Seth, the Tannehill one is probably a better example because I think Jameis is still viewed as a guy who has upside, room to grow. He came into the league in 2015. Tannehill's over 30 years old now, so it's a different story. With Tannehill specifically, when people suggest the franchise tag, and they recoil and they go, do you know how much the franchise tag is going to be?
Not much.
It's going to be like, well, but they go, it's going to be like $28 million or something, you know, or probably higher now. It's the average of the top five quarterbacks, so it's probably over $30 million now. Whatever the case may be, the franchise tag on a quarterback, using it is not about the dollar amount. If you can't clear out an extra $5 or $10 million just to be able to use the franchise tag, well, then you're in cap hell and you don't deserve to be able to use the franchise tag. The franchise tag for a quarterback, especially one like Winston and Tannehill, is to just make sure that whatever you saw with your eyes the year before is the real thing and that you're not making a bigger long-term financial and years commitment to that quarterback.
Especially, and it's almost,
it's preventing a bigger mistake.
When you're looking at the cap expanding too, it really is. You're just renting a quarterback for you. It's like the luxury, there's a luxury car rental place I just saw.
I saw that place too.
Yeah.
It's
across from Best Buy, right?
It is.
Yeah. And I go rent a Maserati or something for whatever.
Right.
That's what you're doing with a Jameis Winston. And much like a fancy luxury car, you never know quite whether you can rely on
it. Is Jameis a Maserati?
I don't know. I don't want to.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to insult any car folks out there. What's the best luxury vehicle that's the least reliable, like high end.
713.
You could drive it 170 miles an hour.
We'll let the texters do our dirty work.
Now,
713-572-4610.
The franchise tag for quarterbacks this year is $24 million, and it'll go up a little bit. You see, your eyes lit up. Like, you looked at that like a relative bargain.
For Jameis Winston for a year, I'd do that in a second just to not have to commit for another year.
Because the franchise tags, I believe, are based on the salary, not the average per year. That's why it looks a little bit lower.
Okay.
The salaries are always lower than the average per year.
Because the cap hit is bigger because of signing bonuses and whatnot. Okay, gotcha. So 24 million. And for Tannehill, too, to be honest with you. It's a bargain because of the preventative part of it. It's a bargain because you're not putting yourself in position to make a big, big mistake.
It's a bargain because I go back to this. Jared Goff.
Yes.
That's what you're paying for now with Jared Goff, Derek Carr, any of these guys. That's what you're paying. So can you imagine being locked into Derek Carr long term, or having the potential for or being locked into Jared Goff as well, or any of these guys, versus, okay, Jameis Winston, if he irons out this interception issue, he's got actual arm talent. Like, he's got actually something that people are scared of.
That's the fascinating part, and that's where the whole thing, well, that's the going rate for a quarterback. Well, guess what? There's only like 10 or 12 of these guys that the league will mathematically allow to be successful. It's a zero-sum game. You can go pay. There's probably 20 or 22 whatever quarterbacks that are going to be making big-time franchise money. This just in, only 12 of them make the playoffs, if that, and only four of them get to a conference title game, and only one of them can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So there's more often than not, this stuff's going to end in disappointment, and the Rams are the best example of it. Jared Goff, $110 million guaranteed. Knock yourself out. Have fun with that, Sean McVay.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.